Wax at least had a change of clothing that wasn't wet, the suit he had worn on the raid. So he was pleasantly dry as his carriage pulled up to Ladrian Mansion. Steris had returned to her father's house to recover. Wax put aside his broadsheet and waited for Cobb, the new coachman, to hop down and yank open the carriage door. Wax nodded to Cobb and handed him the broadsheet. Cobb grinned. He loved the things.
Take the rest of the day off. I know you were looking forward to the wedding festivities.
Cobb's grin widened. Then he bobbed his head and climbed back onto the coach to see to it that it and the horses were cared for before leaving. He'd likely spend the day at the races. Wax climbed the steps to the mansion. It was one of the finest in the city, luxurious with carved stonework and deep hardwood with tasteful marble accents. That didn't stop it from being a prison. It was just a very nice one. Wax didn't enter. Instead, he stood on the steps for a while before turning around and sitting on them. Closing his eyes, he let it all settle on him. He was good at hiding his scars. He'd been shot almost a dozen times now, a few of those wounds quite bad. Out in the roughs, he'd learned to pick himself up and keep on going no matter what happened. At the same time, it felt like things back then had been simple. Not always easy, but simple. And some scars continued to ache. Seemed to get worse with time. He rose, legs stiff, and continued up the steps. Nobody opened the door for him or took his coat as he entered. He maintained a small staff in the house, but only what he considered necessary. Too many servants, and they'd hover and worry when he did anything on his own. It was as if the idea of him being capable drove them into feeling vestigial. Wax frowned, then slipped Vindication from his hip holster and raised her beside his head. He couldn't say precisely what had set him off. Footsteps up above, when he'd given the housekeepers the day off. A cup on a side table with a bit of wine in the bottom. He flicked a little vial from his belt and downed the contents, steel flakes suspended in whiskey. The metal burned a familiar warmth inside of him, radiating from his stomach. The blue lines sprang into existence around him. They moved with him as he crept forward, as if he were tied with 1,000 tiny threads. He leaped and pushed on the inlays in the marble floor, soaring up alongside the stairs to the second-story viewing balcony above the grand entryway. He slipped easily over the banister, landing with gun at the ready. When the door to his study opened, the man in the light brown suit froze as he found Wax's gun pressed against his temple.
Just a moment,
You.
I'm quite fond of this skull. It's 6th century antiverdant, the head of a metal merchant from Urto, whose grave was shifted and protected as a side effect of Harmony's rebuilding. An antique, if you will. If you make a hole in it, I'll be rather put out.
I told you I wasn't interested.
Yes, I took that to heart, Lord Ladrian.
Then why are you here?
Because I was invited.
The conjurer reached up and grasped the barrel of Wax's gun between two fingers, then pushed it gently to the side.
We needed a place to converse. Your associate suggested it, as I'm told the servants are away.
My associate? Wayne.
He eyed the Condra, then slipped his gun into its holster.
Which one are you? Tensoon, is that you?
Me? Tensoon? What, do you hear me panting?
He gestured for Wax to enter his own study, as if he were doing Wax some grand courtesy.
I'm Vendel of the 6th. Pleased to meet you, Lord Ladrian. If you must shoot me, please do it in the left leg, as I've no particular fondness for those bones.
I'm not gonna shoot you.
Wax shoved past the Condra and entered the room. The blinds had been drawn and the thick curtains left to droop down, plunging the room into almost complete darkness, save for two small new electric lamps. Why the closed curtains? Was the Condra that concerned about being seen? Wayne lounged in Wax's easy chair, feet up on the cocktail table, helping himself to a bowl of walnuts. A woman stretched out in a similar posture in the companion chair, wearing tight trousers and a loose blouse, eyes closed as she leaned back in the chair, hands behind her head. She wore a different body from the last time Wax had seen her, but the posture and the height gave him good clues that this was Melan. Marisi was inspecting some odd equipment set up on a pedestal at the back of the room. It was a box with small lenses on the front. She stood up straight as soon as she saw him and, being Marisi, blushed deeply.
Sorry about this. We were going to go to my flat to talk, but Wayne insisted.
Needed some nuts.
When you invited me to stay here, you did say to make myself at home, mate.
I'm still unclear as to why you needed a place to talk. I said I wasn't going to help.
Quite so. As you were unavailable, of necessity, I turned to other options. Lady Combs has been so kind as to listen to my proposition.
Marcy? You went to Marcy?
What? That's surprising to you? She was instrumental in the defeat of Miles' Hundred Lives, not to mention her help during the riots Pa'am instigated.
You're trying to get to me through another route, aren't you?
Look who's full of himself.
Ah, he's always full of himself, Milan. Mostly on account of him eating his own fingernails. I seen him do it.
Is it so ridiculous that they'd actually want my help?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way, Marcy.
Then what way did you mean it?
I don't know, Marcy. It's been a long day. I got shot at, got a water tower dumped on my head, and had my wedding fall apart. Now Wayne is dropping broken walnut shells all over my chair. Honestly, I think I just need a drink.
Wax walked toward the bar at the back of the room. Marcy eyed him.
Will you get me one too? Because this is all making me go a little crazy.
He smiled, digging out some single malt whiskey, pouring for himself and for Marcy. A few minutes later, Vendel returned to the room with some piece of equipment that he hooked to a strange device. He ran a wire from the device to one of the wall lamps, pulling out the bulb and screwing in the end of the wire instead. Leaving would feel childish, so Wax leaned against the wall and sipped his whiskey, saying nothing as Vendel turned on his machine. An image appeared on the wall. Wax froze. It was a picture similar to an Ivanotype, only on the wall and quite large. It displayed the Field of Rebirth in the center of Ellendel, where the tombs of Vin and Elend Venture were to be found. He'd never seen anything like that image. It seemed to have been created entirely by light. Wayne threw a walnut at it. The others glared at him.
What? Wanted to see if it was real.
Image projector. They call it an Ivanoscope. By next year, these will be commonplace, I should think. Harmony implies that if we find this wondrous, it will really burn our metals when the images start moving.
Moving? How would they do that?
We don't know. He accidentally let it slip, but won't say anything more.
How does God accidentally let something slip?
As I said, he has been distracted lately. We've tried to tease out more regarding moving images, but so far no luck. He's often like this, says it's vital that we discover things on our own.
Like a chick breaking out of its shell. He says if we don't struggle and learn on our own, we won't be strong enough to survive what is coming.
Wax shared a look with Marcy.
Well, that's ominous. Has he said anything more about Trell?
No. And I have no update on the spikes, if that's what you're wondering. But this task I have for you, Miss Combs, might provide insight. Suffice it to say, we're worried about the possible intrusion of another god upon this domain.
Hey, what's a girl gotta do to get some of that whiskey?
Sister, you are a representative of Harmony and his enlightenment.
Yep, and I am a tragically sober one.
Wax brought her a glass and she grinned at him in thanks.
Chivalry.
Vendel twisted something on his machine, making the image brighter.
Manipulation. Miss Combs, I spoke to you earlier of investiture and identity. I promised you an explanation. Here.
He flipped something on his machine, changing the image on the wall to a list of ferrochemical metals, their attributes, and their natures. It wasn't the pretty artistic rendition that Wax often saw in popular lore. It was far less fancy, but much more detailed.
The basic physical abilities of ferrochemy are well understood.
Vendel walked forward and used a long reed to point to a section of the projected chart.
Terrace tradition and heritage has explored them for at least 1,500 years. Harmony left detailed explanations in the words of founding. Likewise, the abilities in the so-called mental quadrant of the chart have been outlined and discussed, tested and defined. Our understanding doesn't reach as far here. We don't know why memories stored in a metal mind degrade the way they do when removed, or why tapping mental speed tends to make one hungry, of all things. But still, we have a great deal of experience in this area.
Vendel circled his pointer around a group of metals and abilities at the bottom. Fortune, investiture, identity, and connection. Wax leaned forward. They'd spoken of these during his year living in the village, but only as part of the catechisms of ferrochemy and terrace belief. None of those specified what the powers actually did. They were considered beyond understanding, like God or time.
Chromium, nigrosil, aluminum, duralumin. These aren't metals that most ancients knew. Only in recent times have modern metallurgical processes allowed them to become commonplace.
Commonplace? With a single aluminum bullet, mate, I could buy you an outfit that don't look so stupid and have money left over for a nice hat or two.
Be that as it may, compared to the amount of aluminum in the world before the Catacendra, the metal is now common. Bauxite refining modern chemical processes. These have given us access to metals on a level that was never before possible. Why, the last obligator's autobiography explains that early aluminum was harvested from the inside of the ash mounts.
So what do they do?
Research is ongoing. Fairings with these abilities are very, very rare. And it is only in the last few decades that we've had access to enough of these metals to begin experimenting. Rebuilding society has been a wearisome process.
You were alive before, in the days of the Ascendant Warrior.
Indeed, though I never met her. Only Tensun did.
What was life like?
Hard. It was hard.
There are holes in our memories. From when our spikes were removed, it took a piece out of us. There are things we'll never get back.
Wex took a drink. There was a weight that came from speaking to the Chandra, in realizing that most of them had already been alive for hundreds of years when the world of Ash had ended. These were ancient beings. Perhaps Wax should not be surprised by their presumption. To them, he, indeed everyone else alive, was little more than a child.
Identity.
Vendil pointed his reed at the wall, casting a shadow on the image.
Lord Ladrian, could another ferrochemist use your metal mines?
Of course not. Everyone knows that.
Why?
Well, because they're mine.
The raw power of both allomancy and ferrochemy is something we call investiture. This is very important. As in ferrochemy, an individual's investiture is keyed specifically to them, to what we call identity.
You've made me curious.
Wax looked at the wall as Vendel leisurely walked back to his machine.
How does it know? My metal mines, do they recognize me?
After a fashion.
Vendel changed the image to one of a ferrochemist tapping strength. The woman's muscles had grown to several times their normal size as she lifted a horse above her head.
Each man or woman has a spiritual aspect, a piece of themselves that exists in another realm entirely. You might call it your soul. Your investiture is keyed to your soul. Indeed, it might be part of your soul, much as your blood is a part of your body.
So if a person could store their identity, as Waxillium does with his weight,
they'd be without it for a time. A blank slate, so to speak.
So they could use anyone's metal mind?
Possibly.
Vendel cycled through pictures of several more ferrochemists using their abilities before coming to rest on an image of a set of bracers. Simple metal bands, like wide bracelets, meant to be worn on the upper arms beneath clothing. It was impossible to tell the type of metal without color, but they had ancient terrace markings engraved on them.
Some have been experimenting with your idea, and early results are promising. However, having a ferrochemist who can use anyone's metal mines is intriguing, but not particularly life-changing. Our society is strewn with individuals who have extraordinary abilities. This would simply be one more variety. No, what interests me is the opposite, Miss Combs. What if a ferrochemist were to divest himself of all identity, then fill another metal mind with an attribute, say, strength? What would it do?
Create an unkeyed metal mind? One that another ferrochemist could access?
Possibly. Or is there another possibility? Most people living right now have at least some ferrochemist blood in them. Could it be that such a metal mind as I describe, one that is keyed to no single individual, might be usable by anyone?
Anyone could be a ferrochemist.
Investiture. The innate ability to burn metals or tap metal mines is also one of the things ferrochemy can store. Lord Waxillium, these are arts we are only beginning to comprehend, but the secrets they contain could change the world. In the ancient days, the last emperor discovered a metal that transformed him into a Mistborn, a metal anyone could burn, it is said. This whispers of a hidden possibility, something lesser, but still incredible. What if one could somehow manipulate identity and investiture to create a set of bracers which imparted ferrochemical or allomantic ability upon the person wearing them. One could make any person a Mistborn or a ferrochemist or both at once.
A walnut bounced off Vendel's head. He turned to glare at Wayne.
Sorry. Just had trouble believing someone could be so melodramatic, so I figured you might not be real. Had a check, you know.
Vendel rubbed his forehead.
This is all fascinating, but unfortunately it's also impossible.
And why is that?
You don't even know how or if this would work. And even if you could figure it out, you'd need a full ferrochemist. Someone with at least 2 ferrochemical powers, as they'd need to be able to store their identity in a metal mine, along with another ferrochemical attribute. Russ, to do what you proposed a moment ago and create Allomancers too, you'd basically need someone who is already both Mistborn and full ferrochemist.
This is true.
And how long has it been since a full ferrochemist was born?
A very, very long time. But being born a ferrochemist isn't the only way to make this happen.
Wax hesitated, then shared a look with Marcy. She nodded, and he strode across the room to pull back the wooden panel hiding his wall safe. He did the combination and removed the book that Iron Eyes had sent him. He turned, raising it.
Hemallergy? Harmony hates it. I've read what the Lord Mistborn had to say on the topic.
Yes. Hemallergy is problematic.
In part because we wouldn't exist without it. That's not a particularly fun thing to know, that people had to be murdered in order to bring you sapience.
Creating new spikes is a horrid practice. We have no intentions of doing such a thing to experiment with identity. Instead, we're waiting. A full ferrochemist is bound to be born among mankind eventually, particularly with the Terrace elite working so hard to preserve and condense their bloodlines. Unfortunately, our restraint will not be shared by everyone. There are those who are growing very close to understanding how all this works.
My uncle.
Wax looked down at the book in his fingers. So far as he could tell, Edworn, the man known as Mr. Suit, was trying to breed Allomancers. What would he do with Hemallergy if he knew about it?
We need to stay ahead of those who might use this for ill purposes. We need to experiment and determine how these identity-free metal mines would work.
Doing so will be dangerous. Mixing the powers is incredibly dangerous.
Says the Twinborn.
I'm safe. My powers don't compound. They're from different metals.
They may not compound, but they're still fascinating, Lord Waxillium. Any mixing of Allomancy and Ferrochemy has unanticipated effects.
What is it about you that makes me want to punch you, even when you're saying something helpful?
None of us have been able to figure it out.
Melan waved for Wayne to toss her a walnut.
One of the Cosmere's great mysteries.
Now, Lord Ladrian. Is that the way to speak to someone who bears your ancestor's hands?
His hands? Are you speaking metaphorically?
No. Breeze did say I could have them after he died. Excellent metacarpals. I bring them out for special occasions.
Wax stood still for a moment, holding the book in his hand, trying to digest what the Chondra had just said. His ancestor, the first Lord Ladrian, Counselor of Gods, had given this creature his hands. In a way, Wax had shaken hands with Breeze's corpse. He stared at his glass, surprised to find it empty, and poured some more whiskey.
This has been a very enlightening lesson, but pardon, Your Holiness, you still haven't explained what you need from me.
Vendel changed the picture to one of an illustration. A man with long dark hair and a bare chest, wearing a cloak that extended behind him into eternity. His arms, crossed before him, were wrapped with intricate bracers in a fanciful design. Wax recognized the iconography, if not the specific image. Rashek, the first emperor, the Lord Ruler.
What do you know of the Bands of Mourning, Miss Combs?
The Lord Ruler's metal mines, relics from mythology, like the Lady Mistborn's knives or the Lance of the Fountains.
There are 4 individuals who, to our knowledge, have held the power of ascension. Rashek, the survivor, the Ascendant Warrior, and Lord Harmony himself. Harmony's ascension granted him a precise and an in-depth knowledge of the metallic arts. It stands to reason that the Lord Ruler gained the same information. He understood identity as a ferrochemical ability and knew the hidden metals. Indeed, he gave aluminum to his inquisitors.
Vendel flipped the image to a more detailed illustration of those arms wrapped in bands of metal.
Curiously, nobody knows exactly what happened to the Bands of Mourning. Back when the Lord Ruler fell, Tensun had not yet joined the Ascendant Warrior, and though he swears he heard them mentioned, the holes in his memory prevent him from saying how or when. The mythology surrounding the Bands is quite extensive. You can find myths about them dating back before the Catacendra, and you can find someone telling new ones in a pub around the corner, invented on the spot for your amusement. But a theme runs through them all. If you held the Lord Ruler's bracers, you supposedly gained his powers.
That's just fancy. It's a natural thing to wish for, to make stories about. It doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't it? Lore says the Bands have the very power that science has only now determined is plausible to assemble.
Coincidence. And just because he might have created something doesn't mean he did. And just because you think identity works like you say, doesn't mean you're right. Besides, the Bands would have been destroyed when Harmony remade the world. And that's not even considering that it would be foolish for the Lord Ruler to create weapons someone else could use against him.
The image changed to another Ivanotype, this one of a mural on a wall. It depicted a room with a central dais in the shape of a truncated pyramid. Set upon a pedestal on the dais was a pair of bracers made of delicate curling metal shaped in spirals. Only a mural, but it did seem like it was depicting the Bands of Mourning.
What is that?
One of our brothers, a Chandra named Raylur, took this image.
The Bands of Mourning fascinated him. Raylur spent the last 2 centuries chasing them. He recently returned to Elendil bearing an Ivanotype camera in his pack and these pictures.
Vendel changed to another image, a picture of a large metal plate set into a wall and inscribed with a strange script.
I don't know that language.
Nobody does. It's completely alien to us, unrelated to any Terrace, Imperial, or other route. Even the old languages in Harmony's records bear no resemblance to this script.
Wax felt a chill as the images continued. Another shot of the strange language. A statue that resembled the Lord Ruler, bearing a long spear. This appeared to be covered in frost. Another shot of the mural, more detailed, which depicted bracers with many different metals twining together. Not bracers for a fairing like wax, but bracers for a full ferrochemist. Only a mural, yes, but it was compelling.
Raylur believed in the Bands. He claims to have seen them, though his camera bore no image of the actual relics. I'm inclined to trust his words.
Vendel showed another image of a different mural. It depicted a man standing atop a peak, hands raised above him, and a glowing spear hovering there just beyond his touch. A corpse slumped at his feet. Wax went forward, walking into the stream of light until he was standing right in front of the image, looking up at the portion he wasn't blocking. The face of the man in the mosaic had eyes upturned and lips parted as if in awe at what he beheld. He wore the bracers on his arms. Wax turned around, but standing in the stream of light, he couldn't see anything in the room.
You mean to tell me your brother, this Raylur, actually found the Bands of Mourning?
He found something.
Where?
He doesn't know.
Wax stepped out of the light, frowning. He looked from Vendel to Melan.
What?
He's missing a spike. Best we could determine, he was accosted before he could return here from the mountains near the Southern Roughs.
We can't get any straight answers out of him. A Chandra with a missing spike. Well, they aren't quite sane any longer, as you well know.
Wax shivered, a pit of emptiness shifting inside him.
Yes.
So, Miss Combs...
Vendel stepped away from his machine.
This is where you come in. Raylur is one of our finest. Of the third generation, he is an explorer, an expert at bodies, and a genius. Losing him would be a great blow to us.
We can't reproduce. Our numbers are set. The thirds like Raylur, they're our parents, our exemplars, our leaders. He is precious.
We would like you to recover his spike from whoever took it. This will restore his sanity and hopefully his memories.
The longer he goes without it, the bigger the holes will be.
So, perhaps you can understand our urgency, and why I found it prudent to interrupt Lord Ladrian even on what was obviously an important day. When Raylur returned to us, he was missing an entire arm and half his chest. Though he will not, or cannot, speak of where he got these pictures, he is able to recall being attacked in New Saren. We believe someone ambushed him there on his return and stole the artifacts he had discovered.
They have his spike. It's still there, it has to be.
Wait, why not give him another spike? You've got enough of them lying around to make earrings like the one you gave Waxillium.
You are misunderstanding the nature of these spikes. First, we do not have Chandra blessings lying around. The earrings you mention are crafted from old Inquisitor spikes and have barely any potency to them. One might have been good enough for Lord Waxillium's little stunt 6 months ago, but they would hardly be enough to restore a Chandra.
Yeah, if that worked, we'd have already used all those spikes to make new children. We can't. A Chandra blessing must be created very specifically.
We did try something akin to what you suggest. Tensun relinquished one of his own spikes to give our fallen brother a few moments of lucidity. It was very painful for Tensun and, unfortunately, accomplished nothing. Relure only screamed, begging for his spike. He spat out Tensun's a moment later. Trying to use someone else's spikes when you don't have your own already can provoke radical changes in personality, memory, and temperament.
Lessie, she changed spikes frequently.
And each was a spike created specifically for her. Not one that had been used by another Chandra. And besides, would you call her particularly stable, Lord Waxillium? You must trust us on this. We have done what we can. Here, at least. Melan will be traveling to New Saren to investigate and retrieve Relure's missing spike. Miss Combs, we would like you to join her and help recover our brother's mind. We can intervene with your superiors in the Constable Precinct and make certain you are assigned field duty working for the government in a clandestine fashion. If you can restore Relure's spike, we will be able to find answers.
Vendel eyed Wax.
This will not be a wild hunt for some impossible artifact. All we want is our friend back. Of course, any clues you can discover regarding where he went on his quest and where he got these pictures would be appreciated. There are some people of interest in New Saren, nobility that Relure is fixated upon for reasons we can't get out of him.
Wax studied the last image for a time longer. It was tempting. Mystical artifacts were all well and good, but something attacking and nearly killing one of the faceless immortals? That was interesting.
I'll go. I'll do it. But I wouldn't mind help. Waxillium?
A part of him longed to go. Escape the parties and the dances, the political engagements and business meetings. The Chandra would know that. Harmony would know that. Anger simmered deep within him at the thought. He'd hunted Lessie, and they hadn't told him.
This sounds like the perfect challenge for your skills, Marcy. I doubt you need me. You are perfectly capable, and I feel a fool for having implied otherwise, even accidentally. If you do want company, however, perhaps Wayne would be willing to provide some extra protection? I'm afraid that I, however, must...
The image on the wall flickered to the shot of a city with grand waterfalls. New Saren? He'd never been there. The streets were overgrown with foliage, and people promenaded about clothed in striped brown suits and soft white dresses.
Ah, I forgot. There was one other image in Relure's belongings. We discovered it last, as the others were packed carefully away to await development. We suspect this image was taken in New Saren just before the attack.
And why should I care? It...
He felt an icy shock as he recognized someone in the picture. He stepped back into the stream of light, pressing his hand against the white wall, trying, fruitlessly, to feel the image.
Impossible.
She stood between two men who held her arms tightly, as if pulling her forward against her will, keeping her prisoner even in broad daylight. She had glanced over her shoulder toward the camera as the Ivanotype was taken. The woman was in her 40s, lean but solid, with long dark hair framing a face that, despite their years apart, Wax knew very, very well. Telson, his sister.